And that's why it kicked up something. In 1992, me and another gentleman were sitting down at the table using. And he looked at me and he said, Bradley, you need to go down Eisenhower Avenue and get some help. I looked at him, told him, you go get some help. I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing. But I thank that gentleman, because what he did, he planted a seed in me. There was a place where I could go to get some help. Of course, I didn't go right then, but I made it. That's the key thing. I got here. When I got here, I got a sponsor. When I had 3 days clean, he put me in service at 6 days clean. And I was in a step study group at 9 days clean. You know, I went to meetings every day for my first 5.5 years. You know, I made absolutely no excuses, the family, the kids, whatever. You know, I made sure, because when I first got here, they used to always say, you don't even know if you want to stay for your first 5 years. And I'm here to report. I don't know if I wanted to stop using, but I know I didn't want to feel the way I felt the day I came, before I came to Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm here to report I have not felt that way since. My first encounter with, I'm going to take it back. The first, I came to a facility that gentleman told me about, because my mother put me out the house. My girlfriend said she wanted nothing else to do with me. My job told me my performance was so poor, I couldn't come back to work without a doctor's excuse.
Wow.
So that idea that man told me in 1992, it sounded real grand and groovy,
yeah.
Right? So I went to that facility. I stayed 12 to 14 days. I, too, brought my vehicle. I left my vehicle sitting out. I had crack in the front. When they assigned me a counselor, I told them, you don't need to bother me. I don't need no help. Leave me alone. I chased women. I played cards. When they released me from that facility, I used again in the detox parking lot. You know, and what I'm talking about is my experience and my willingness to kill myself. 2 years later, when I had hit the end, when I almost burnt my mother's house down and I was able to get the fire put out and I got on my knees, I'm here to report I didn't get down on my knees to ask God for some help. I got down on my knees so my neighbor across the court couldn't look through the window and see me continuing to get high. But I know it to be God now at this time, because while I was down on my knees, I could not get up. I don't know if it was a back spasm, a leg cramp, or what, but I could not get up and I began to cry. I had had enough. I called that facility. They said I could be there the next morning. I went there the next morning. I told them I would like to go to such and so treatment for 1 year. When I leave there, I want to go to another treatment for another year. When I leave there, I want to go to Oxford House. They told me, shut the hell up. You can't be the patient, the psychiatrist, and the physician. Please let us help you. And that's what I did. I let those people help me. How I got involved with H&I was through embarrassment, because H&I brought the message into that facility. And it was a young lady that I used to chase in the street. She had 7 years clean, right? So I was in awe, you know, when she came up in there. And so the women ran up to her after the meeting, were asking her for a number and stuff. And you know me, I ran over there. I said, hey, so let me get your number. And she gave me the most help I've ever had in my life. She said, Bradley, what you need to do is get with some men and learn how to become a man. You know, and that's what I did from that day forward. I was surrounded by men when I got here. I had a guy who took me to meetings all over D.C., Maryland, and Virginia for my first 30 days. And he told me, now you're indebted to do that for somebody else. You know, he was 12-stepping me into this program. See, I'm one of them guys, I didn't come in and out. If that's your story, that's fine. Mine didn't involve that. Mine involved penitentiaries, road gangs, jail, you know, those type of things, you know. And I never, never sought help when I was in any of them places, because I never wanted to stop. So when I got into service, my sponsor suggested H&I, and he said, you would be very good for that. And, you know, I had a big old chest at the time. My grand sponsor used to say, Bradley, you help a lot of people. You do a lot of things. Why you do it? I said, because it makes me feel good. He said, that's a good reason, but it's the wrong motive. He said, do it because it's the right thing to do, and God will make you feel better about what you're doing. Because what I had done, I came in here with the same thought process that I had out there. I was trying to make myself feel better, right? And see, so I thought, that y'all could do for me what the drugs didn't do, you know. And what came about, it was about getting into some step work, learning the process of recovery. So, you know, when I started doing H&I meetings, and too, they didn't let me talk too much at first. At that time, there wasn't a whole lot of support in our area in H&I, so I believe after about, you know, 60 days, they allowed me to say my name, you know. So, and currently, we have approximately 47 meetings at 14 facilities in Northern Virginia. I've been pretty fortunate. I've been the chair, the vice chair, the chair, the vice chair, you know. But I've always had a service commitment in H&I since I've been here. I'm currently holding two service positions. I'm going into juvenile detention center. And I do a severe mental disorders and addiction group right down the highway from where I grew up and where I did a lot of damage. And I fit right in. Because when I got there, the first meeting I carried into that facility, there were five people I used with on the highway, you know, and it was just great to see. Because one thing in my area, it doesn't seem like a lot of people that I grew up with come in here, you know. And I know I'm one of the chosen ones because there were seven of us that hung around together, and five of us are dead as a direct result. Two of us are in here. So H&I has been a big, big part of my life. You know, what I do, I cheat a little bit with the severe mental ones, right? Because they were trying to tell me, if they drift off, you know, don't pay no attention, just, you know, keep it going and everything. And so I came up with this thing that we call test, right? And they went, oh, man, what's going on and all, right? And so, you know, at the beginning of the meeting, I introduced myself. I'm saying I'm from H&I, hospital, I explain everything. And so their first test when I first got there was how much was the IP pamphlets? Boy, they went berserk. Free! So the next time, I'm telling you, this is how you get their attention. Yeah. So I know I'm a little mental disorder, yeah. You know. Next time I came to the facility, when I walked in the door, they said, free! I said, oh, they starting to outthink me now. Yeah. So I changed up, and what I did, I started bringing little bookmarks and stuff like that. And when the speaker would share his experience, you know, I'd say, okay, what's his clean date? You know, I always give him something. So now they are so hungry that they're sitting down. I'm supposed to be there at 7. They're sitting there waiting. Yeah. They really want this thing, you know. And they ask a lot of questions. So, you know, I've had to get to the point to where you have to raise your hand, you know, get a little order in it, you know, because Derek talked about the do's and the don'ts and things of that nature. And it's very important if you get involved with H&I that you get the handbook and read it. Don't forget that part. Don't just get it, but read it, you know. Because what you got to understand, see, the fourth tradition doesn't apply to H&I because we're going into outside enterprises. And what happens, we have to follow their guidelines, you know. And sometimes we lose our way, you know, trying to say, well, we're not allowed to do that. Well, we have to be able to bend some in H&I to carry a message of hope, you know. And for me, you know, I just sit back and laugh at all the juvenile detention centers I've had experiences with. When the topic was goals, you know, the young man, you know, 16 years old, said he wanted to be a hitman. I thought that was very interesting, you know. But it's not my job to tell him he can't be a hitman, you know. So at the end of the meeting, I gave him a hug and everything, and then, you know, I pulled him off to the side, you know. And I said, do you still want to do that? You know, and he said, yes, I do, you know. So I said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to be your boss for a minute, okay? I leave money at the airport in a locker, and it's got an envelope with a card with names on it, okay? And you go, you pick up your assignment. When you open up the card, it's got a picture of your daughter, your mother, and your sister in there. And you've never met me. So what do you do? He said, I'm not killing my family. And I said, well, why would you want to put that harm on somebody else? Now, see, all that was just to get him to think. Yeah. I wasn't telling him what to do and what not to do. But I'm here to report the next time I went into juvenile detention center, he had a different attitude.
Wow.
I don't know if it was what I said, but it was what his thought process had changed, you know. And I think that's what it's all about.
Right.
You know, I was at the convention about 4 or 5 years ago right here, and I was coming out of the main speaker meeting, and this young lady ran up to me and pulled me and said, "I don't remember your name, but boy, I remember you." He said, "You came into the Arlington Detox Center and brought a message from Narcotics Anonymous, and I'm still here. I got 2 years clean." See, now that is the reward. See, one thing I've learned about H&I, this ain't for the people who want to be on the front lines and all that. This is for the people who appreciate what God has done for them. What the program at Narcotics Anonymous has afforded us, the peace that comes about, man. I love H&I. I've been on H&I ever since I've been here. I'm going to stay on H&I as long as I stay here. But there's a lot more work that we need to do. And that's why I don't mind when they ask me to, you know, come up and talk about H&I. I'm an H&I kind of guy. I truly love this. My experience with H&I, I've started meetings at different facilities. I've gone in. I've asked PI to come in and meet with the professionals. I've met with the counselors. I've had to meet with some of the professionals. I've been fortunate enough to probably start approximately 8 or 9 different H&I meetings in the area. They had stopped Alexandria Detox for 3.5 years because of behavior. And I was able to work with the director, and now we have meetings in there 6 days a week. And the 7th day, they get to come around front. They're allowed to do 1 outside NA meeting in the building around front so they can get numbers. So this is what I'm talking about, you know, how we have to do things, how we have to stay involved, because the newcomer is the most important person. You know, who's going to secretary this meeting 10 years from now, 20 years from now? Who's going to tell us how to keep continuing if we don't open our arms, you know? This is very, very important that we must stay involved with H&I. You know, that was my first, I told you, I'm a guy, I got here, I'm going to tell you, I got here when I was 40 years old. So when I got here, you know, I knew nothing about recovery, so thank God for H&I. So when I got here and the pain that I was in and the relief that was shown through H&I showing me that I could live different is what made the difference. Because I didn't know, I don't know about y'all, but I didn't understand nothing when I went to a meeting. But when I went to H&I, there was something. And I know it's spiritual in nature. There was something about me identifying with that one woman that I knew from in the street. And for her to have 7 years, see, and I didn't even care about the 7 years. How can you stop using, lose the desire, and learn to live a new way of life? Now, I'm here to report the same mother who put me out of her house, she has now had stage 4 cancer, and she is living with me. She is having a blood transfusion as I speak right now. See, because Narcotics Anonymous has made me available. The same girlfriend that I had at that time, watch this. She's gone. Y'all thought y'all were really going to get something that time, didn't you? Yeah. And the same job that told me I couldn't come back to work without a doctor's excuse.
Yeah.
Because of this program, I stayed on that job for 18 years.
Wow.
I became the manager of the company. The irony to that is the owner of that company was a retired police officer. I'm a guy I've been locked up over 30-something times. He saw in me what I didn't see in myself. When I got clean, he asked me to help his son. I'm here to report there's absolutely nothing I could do for him. He was found dead, sitting down in the basement where he had alcohol poisoning. He had killed himself, you know, through continuing to put that poison in his body, you know. But the reason I say that is because H&I was my gateway in here. It was my first attraction to NA, you know. And, you know, I sit back and I think, you know, I'm looking at now the difference. I stayed on that job for 18 years, and I gave him a year's notice that I was leaving the job. I ain't never did that before. You know? And I left the job because Knock Heights Anonymous has showed me how to be a responsible human being, a member of society. And I opened my own business, you know. And I say that not to brag or boast, because it is a whole different ball game now. Because I get to see me and my employees. I have a guy who's continuing to use. And I hope and pray, because he's in that facility today, that just by the example of me and a couple of the other guys on the job, that he would stay this time. He's been trying to get this thing since 1981, and he can't get no time together. But see, long lengths of clean time do not equal recovery. Multiple relapses are not a sign of weakness or failure. Might be their jarring effect to make one of these newcomers stay here and do the work that's necessary. I heard Derek talk about it, and it's my favorite passage in the basic text. Never have we seen a person relapse who lives the Narcotics Anonymous program. So it's very important that the people in H&I that are on the front lines carry a very clear message when we go into, we're not alcoholics and addicts. Right. We are addicts, period. You know, I always tell them when I go in there every time, there are no big eyes or little U's. The only dumb question is the question you don't ask, you know. If you need to know, please raise your hand, you know. So life's been good for me, you know, and I don't know how much time I have, and, you know, hopefully I've helped somebody and encouraged somebody to come on and get with this game, because this is the best game in town. Unless you're ego-driven, then you're not going to get what you need here. But if you want to help somebody, come to NA, come to H&I, and be a member of the H&I subcommittee and get involved. Give back what was so freely given to you. If you want what we have, you got to do what we do. That's the message we carry in there. If they want to get better, the only way they can get better is we have to be an example. Anybody sitting in this room right now that's doing better, somebody helped you to do better. I guarantee you that, you know. So I know my job is to be available. I hope all y'all's job will be the same. Please come give us some help. You see all these empty seats? These empty seats represent the addict who is not here yet. And the other ones represent the people who are not willing to get on H&I and help us carry a message of hope. My name's Bradley. Thanks for letting me share.
My name is Sharon. I'm at it. And it's 15 minutes left. I think we can use that. Yeah. Yeah, DCR agent and I in the house.
I'm Richard Dane. I'm an addict.
Hey, Richard Dane.
I want to thank the gentleman for sharing. And I just wanted to say a little bit about H&I. What H&I has helped me with is consistency. You know, because that's something that I continue to work on, and that's being consistent in my recovery. You know, what happens for me when I go to a H&I commitment is that I get help. You know, I get lots of help because when I go, I'm going because I want to be consistent. You know, often, you know, our H&I subcommittee, I don't know, you all may have mild meetings, your subcommittee meeting, but our subcommittee meetings can be a little, you know, we addicts, everybody has a different opinion, everybody knows they know. And at the end of some of the meetings, I'll say, I'm not going back. I'm tired. I'm finished. You know, but I love H&I because H&I helped save my life. Now, I was in detox, and when I went to detox, I smoked a joint on the way, put half of an ashtray, said, that's what I'm going to do when I leave. But the H&I subcommittees, East of the River and D.C. area, brought meetings into that facility. And what they did was they got me to thinking, maybe I can do that, just maybe. And I'm talking about staying clean. Because I ain't had no intentions of that when I got there. I had intentions to stop drinking meth.
Yeah.
And I was just going to smoke some weed. I love H&I.
Yes.
And how I show my gratitude is by just keep coming back. There was this woman that brought me into H&I,
yes.
You know. And I told her, I said, as long as you stay on H&I, I'm going to be on H&I. Mm. And she passed just this past year,
yes.
You know. But I'm here. I'll be on H&I.
That's right.
I'm going to stay on H&I like she did till
yes.
I die. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing.
I see someone from Novana H&I here. You want to come up and speak?
Well, you.
Dominic.
Dominic.
Come on. You're not shy.
Hey, family. I'm Dominic. I'm an addict.
Hey, Dominic.
Yeah, it's great to be here, especially in the. I didn't even know this was over here, but, you know, I believe that I was driven over here. Someone else told me they was coming to 217. I had no idea what was in 217,
wow.
But I wanted, and of course I seen familiar faces. But before I seen that, I seen that H&I, I was like, oh man, I gotta be in there, you
yes.
know? Because currently I'm the vice chair for the Novana area of H&I. And the beautiful thing about that is I have relocated from the area. I don't live in Norvana no more, but that commitment is so serious to me.
Right.
You know what I mean? That just because I'm in the east of the river area, I'm not going to stop doing what I was doing out in Norvana. You know what I mean? Because that's a big part of who I am today. You know, just being able to go in there and to be humble like you were talking about, Bradley. You know, I learned a lot from you guys, man, over there in the H&I and with the vice chair, it's like it's not nothing that I jumped up and I raised my hand for. But, you know, a lot of people seen something and then they kind of nominated and pushed me along. And I grudgingly came along because sometimes, man, I just want to be behind the scenes sometimes. Because I'm lively, man, and I'm real excited about my recovery. But there's a spiritual part of me that I strive for that sometimes just allows me to want to kind of be behind the scene. So, but when they did that for me, it was so great. And one of the brothers who was the chair, he explained it to me, like, because I was still kind of in the woods with it, and I was still trying to understand exactly, because like you said, it's much different than carrying a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. It's not like we're going in there. It's a whole different intuitivity of, you know, what we have and this program has to offer. But he told me, he said, Dominic, what we do to keep it real simple in Narcotics Anonymous is we're promoting H&I is we're promoting Narcotics Anonymous to the addict who knows nothing about it, usually, you know, and that's what I'm seeing. A lot of these addicts, Bradley, they know nothing about Narcotics Anonymous. So this is a patient process, man, and to have patience with these people, and like you said, give them the opportunity to ask questions because they're watching. They're watching just like I did, and I watched because I wanted to punch holes in people's story and identify out. So that doesn't mean that they're not doing that either.
Yeah.
And I love, like, what I love about H&I and what I could see me not, Richard Dean, what I could see me not giving up on is, like, it gives me that purpose, right? Because I always say this is that service that's behind the scenes. This is not like being in my home group and I got to stand up and everybody sees me
yeah.
and everybody's telling me how good of a job I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like, I go in an H&I commitment when I absolutely don't want to go across that bridge. I don't, after a long day of running around and doing two or three meetings,
yeah.
I do not want to go on my commitment sometime. But I know that there's something that's inside of me
yes.
that's driving me to get on that train and that bus and go across the bridge to do that commitment. And it does so much for me. It's all behind the scenes. People don't even see that it's going on. A lot of people don't even know that I'm on H&I in Norvana.
Yeah.
But it's doing so much for me and I'm learning so much. Thank you for calling me up here, Sharon.
Thanks for sharing.
Okay, I see East of the River Chair came up. You want to share some on H&I?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Narcotics Anonymous. Good afternoon, group. My name is Kim. I'm a happy recovering addict.
Hey, Kevin.
I guess I can say I'm a happy recovering addict at a convention center. But when I'm at the treatment center, I'm an addict. Kevin, and I'm an addict. But, you know, it's a beautiful thing to be in service. And thank the two guys that kept their commitment and came and shared honestly, because them the two guys I followed behind. I seen them bring meetings into the treatment centers I was in, and then when I got busy with my recovery, I was told the service work worked, and I got on H&I, east of the river. It was booming when I got there, and they were so glad to see new people, they hurry up and transfer the power. But, you know, I heard the last speaker sharing about being committed to commitment. You know what I mean? Narcotics Anonymous, by the grace of God, saved my life, right? And I knew how it feel to be sitting in there waiting on somebody to come and give me some hope. So I make it my business, man. I'm the chair, so I got to fill in for people who might have an emergency and they call me at the last minute, and I got to go care of theirs. But I keep me an army of panel members.
Yeah.
They are in training. So that if I have to leave, they know intuitively how to open up an H&I meeting, right? And do not share behind none of the clients. Once you speak, that's it, right? And they getting the message. You know, I was blessed to find a bunch of hungry guys, right? And so they got in service. They done joined our East of the River committee, and the committee is growing. And we got some women that's coming slowly, you know what I mean? But we try to protect our women. We don't want them out there late at night, especially when they're catching the bus and body cell, right? And it's kind of hard to get a speaker to be committed without strings attached. So, you know, man, I understand. So I try to cover for them, man. But we're doing great. Like I heard the previous speakers share, how they come up to you after the meeting, you know, and the fear of the outside world set in. You know, I had a young lady stand up and started crying because she said she was scared, and she knew who she was scared of, herself, after being in treatment for 90 days. And I simply told her I understand, right, and that she can make it. She just got to give herself a chance. You know, there is a solution to that fear. You got to flip it and have faith, right? So H&I is a wonderful thing. If you're not involved, get involved. If you want to get involved, East of the River is open arms. You know what I mean? And we have fun in H&I. We really do. It ain't all doom and gloom in H&I. You know what I mean? The excitement of getting to know people, people getting to know you, come out to your home group and say, I remember you was the one that helped me. I want to get on H&I. I say the first Saturday every month, 1 to 3 at the new library on the Good Hope Road, Southeast. And they come, right? They do, but they don't stay because they want to talk. And we tell them, the policies. And then the policies and guidelines, right? And then we have a time limit for you before you can start talking. So they get a little discouraged. And they go to the meetings, the regular NA meetings, and then get beat up. Then they come back. Want to get in training on how to learn, to listen, and listen to learn. And I had some come back to me, say, you was right, I was wrong. Right, and that's how this program worked, man, because it helped me to listen, to be a good listener, you know, to hear what they're not saying. You know, and I learned not to call on people, and I tell them, I say, I'll be back next week, and we can listen to each other breathe for the whole 45 minutes, because I'm not going to call on y'all, man. It's about you saving your life. You don't know, I'm here because I don't want to smoke tonight. And some of them, you know, they begin to feel what I'm saying. You know what I mean? I'm a grown man sitting in the treatment center on a Monday night. I say, I got a flat screen. I can leave here. I can go buy what I want to eat. You know what I mean? When I leave here, because I'm not smoking, you know, and all my money not cop money tonight. And so they buy into the idea. When I come back, their hand go up. You know what I mean? And the first thing they say, I want to join H&I. They don't talk about the symptoms of the disease of addiction. They just say, I want to join H&I. You know, so it's a good thing, man. I've been on H&I for 10 years, and now I'm the chair of H&I, and I have to go to regional. I go to area and get them a report, you know what I mean? And they're trying to put a lot of stipulation on how much literature we can get when we have a reserve for it. So I'm at area fighting tooth and nail to get literature to carry to the facilities so that the addict, the new addict, can know where meeting is. There's no excuse. And I heard one of the earlier speakers share about that basic list. We had to fight for them things over there, man. They don't want to give them to us. But in the area policy, we got an allotment of $400 for our literature that we need, right? And so here go tolerance and patience, endurance. I had to be like a guru and go to the book and point out where it is allotted for H&I. And we eventually get what we need for the still suffering addict or the new guy or girl who looking for a new way of life. And that's valuable information. Them IP pamphlets are not just to look at or just to read. You need to take the words off of them IP pamphlets and incorporate them in their lives. And most of the treatment centers I go to, some of the people have been staying clean, right, without a relapse. And I don't take none of the credit. You know it's all God. I'm just sharing my experience being on H&I and then service and seeing people transform or conform to the principles of this program and not use one day at a time. And that's the miracle. That's the hope that this program gives us. So, you know, I'm a proud member of H&I. You know, I learned a lot from you, man. I've seen your struggle with H&I and how hard it is to get out. All the other speaker rooms, workshops is full.
Yeah.
But this workshop, you know, we got the real hard-working service people that come here and support, you know, their areas. And that's what it's all about. And one day we'll have a packed room. One day. So that's enough out of me. I can go on and on. Thanks for calling me.
My name is Sharon. I'm at it. I did see South Potomac H&I. Anybody here from South Potomac? They left. Once again, I'm the regional chair. I was East of the River chair. Kevin moved me on out. They had nominated me. But what I'm finding out is that the best thing of helping myself is H&I, through H&I, current the message. Because I'm an addict that I've been in detox 19 times. I've been on methadone 7 times. None of that was working. I remember like the 13th time that I went in detox and the nurses knew I was a revolving door. They said, you can help everybody because the 13 times I've been there, I know where you go, when you go, who you talk to. I know all the doctors, what time you take your medicine, when you look ill. The nurses will bring new people to detox to me. You know, break them in. And the thing is that I helped them. It's a lot of people that they brought to me, they went and did their detox, and they left out. But I never could help myself. And that's what the nurse told me at the 13th time. They said, you can help everybody, but you can't help yourself. And when y'all came in here with H&I, with y'all meetings, I had something for y'all. You here again? I say, well, y'all said keep coming back. And then y'all tell me to the rooms, not detox. But since I've been on H&I 30 days, and the same person that Richard Dean encouraged me. She's no longer here, but I would like to leave the same way she was. Even with Bradley and his conventions and Novana, she always showed up. And at the end, when she was so sick, walking on a cane, she still had a meeting with females in treatment. And I can remember the girlfriend of mine that was saying she'd take her there, the girls be joning on her and couldn't relate to where she had came from because she had almost 28 years, young girls. They said she still went on in spite of her. She still kept coming back regardless of what, if they, you know, appreciated or not. And that's the same kind of encouragement I had when I joined it in 30 days. I had a sponsor that was on East of the River, and the other one was on D.C. area. But D.C. area wasn't in my area, so I joined the East of the River, and it's been the best thing. It was times I had like 5 commitments to H&I because I wasn't working. I had, you know, was on public assistance. So I did 5 meetings, and it helped me stay clean. It was time I missed regular meetings, and H&I was the best thing that could help me stay clean. Try it. I bet you like it. Because this is, like you said, background service work. I don't want to be out in the front, you know, be appreciated. It's, when I see somebody come up to me and say, I remember you came and shared at the treatment I was in. And I've been clean, like you said, you know, since I heard you. We give them hope. So everybody have hope with them, you know, from 30 days. You can give somebody hope that don't have number one day or no days. So, it's a service work I stay committed to, and like Richard Dean, I'm going to be here till the day I leave this earth. So we have a beautiful way of closing with the serenity prayer, but I want to say, you can say it at your seats, but we're going to also give a moment of silence for Sandra H. that was on D.C. area, because I know she would be here if she was living. So, we're going to give a moment of silence for her, and then we're going to start with the serenity prayer.